Turn with me, if you would, back to Matthew chapter 10. I mentioned to you Sunday morning that we may come back and look at certain things that our Lord said right here in more detail. We looked at everything that He said in these remaining verses Sunday night, last Sunday night. But tonight I want to come back and look at one particular verse. And we may do this, if the Lord is willing, we may do that Sunday as well. This one line caught my attention. This just blessed me so much, just thinking about this one line. I want us to consider this subject for just a minute tonight. Look with me at the end of verse 22. It says, "But he that endureth to the end shall be saved." He that endureth to the end shall be saved. And that "he" includes she's. She that endureth to the end shall be saved. I want us to look at the subject of enduring to the end. Enduring to the end. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Doesn't that sound happy? You know, we're marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God, face to face with Christ my Savior. That'll be glory for me. So, that just rest. Just rest. Restful. Enduring to the end. The end. Which, as we all know, is really the beginning. The end of this. The beginning of that. But wouldn't you be so grateful, honestly, knowing how many people their sin gets the best of them and they fall away? It amazes me how many preachers who were once considered gospel preachers, not only do they not preach the gospel anymore, they don't even attend anywhere. That's fearful to me. We don't assume on any of this. And how many people once sat under the truth, some for decades, and then there's just no heart anymore. Wouldn't you be so grateful if it was said of you, "He endured to the end. She endured to the end." I promise you, we've taken all this for granted. We assume on the Lord's mercy and grace. I do. I'm speaking against myself, but I just naturally assume that I'm going to preach the cross of Jesus Christ for the rest of my life. Oh, Lord, please let it be so. Let me not assume on your spirit, your blessing. How glorious would it be if it was said that we endured to the end? We have some dear brethren who have gone before us, gone on to glory before us. And based on their profession and based on the evidence of their faith and the evidence of their hope and the evidence of their love, we can say, and we do say, they endured to the end. They endured the trials. They endured the persecutions. They endured the joys. They endured the rewards. They endured the labor of life and time. Life is a labor and time is a labor. They endured the responsibility of it. They endured the work of it. They endured the stress of it. All saints have gone through the same thing. All saints have gone through life overwhelmed, thinking, "How much longer?" They endured the willingness of it. Don't you feel a willingness in you to be what the Lord has called you to be? A husband, wife, parent, child, saint, member, whatever it is. They endured the love of it. Things can be difficult, but there can be a lot of love involved. However you want to say it, however you want to look at it, how glorious is it to say they endured to the end? All the way to the end. They made it all the way to the end. And all their labor is now over. And they can rest. They honestly can rest. I want that to be said about us. I sincerely do. Every soul here, Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, every soul here, I want it to be said they labored to the end. I don't want anybody to leave. I'll just go ahead and make that known. I don't want anybody to leave, starting with me. They endured to the end. I pray that might be said. Now, for this message, the first thing I want to consider is, what really is the end? We say they endured to the end. What are we trying to get to? What really are we trying to get to? The Apostle Paul stated that answer pretty well. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, verse 7. He said, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." He is the end. He is the goal. He is the prize. Verse 8 says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." That means God does it. God gives it. God causes it. God is the object of it. Verse 10 says, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." He said, I want to know Him. And I want to know the power of His resurrection. I want to know the fellowship of His sufferings. I want to be made conformable to His death so that I can obtain the resurrection of His life. He is the end. He is the goal. He is the prize. Having Him. Being with Him. Just being with Him. You know, the apostles were with Him for 3.5 years. For 3.5 years, they were in heaven. They had Him. And I know that they were in this sinful flesh, and now they have endured to the end. And they're over all these things, but they had Him. Having Him is having everything. He is what we are hoping to endure to. He is. So here's what we're going to consider tonight. How do we do that? How do we endure to the end? I'm going to give us the answer. And then I'm going to give us what the Scripture says is the evidence of the answer. When I say, how do we endure to the end? God's sheep already know the answer. So I'm going to just tell us the answer. And then I'm going to give us what the Scripture says is the evidence of the answer. Okay, here's the answer. Put a marker in your Bible in Philippians. We're going to come back to Philippians 3 a little bit. But Philippians 3, look at chapter 1. Philippians 1, verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If we are going to endure to the end, God is going to have to do that for us. He's going to have to do that work for us. He's going to have to start the work. He's going to have to perform the work. He's going to have to finish the work. God is going to have to keep us all the way to the end. If we are going to endure, here's the only answer. If we're going to endure, He, God, Father, Son, and Spirit, He is going to have to choose us. And He's going to have to lay hold of us in our sin and in our shame and in our rebellion against Him. And He is going to have to plunge us in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. He's going to have to wash us from all of our sin. And then He is going to have to call us by His Spirit. And He's going to have to draw us near to Himself. And He's going to have to keep us right there and not let us go. That's what's going to have to happen. That's the only way that a sinner can endure to the end, is if God does all of that and keeps him right there. God is going to have to do it. He is going to have to endure us, endure for us. If He does not choose us, if He doesn't wash us, if He doesn't call us, if He doesn't keep us, we're not going to be kept. Peter said we're kept only by the power of God. That's it. We have to be kept by the power of God, because there's nothing in this sinful flesh that has the ability to keep itself in endurance to Christ. There is nothing in this sinful flesh. Well, if you're going to endure now, you have to obey the Ten Commandments, and you have to. There is nothing in this sinful flesh that will keep us in endurance to Christ. All that this sinful flesh can do is wander. And we just need to remember that. Prone to wander away. Lord, I feel it. Prone to wander away. I feel it. In my flesh. So if we endure, that's God's doing. He gets the credit. He gets the glory. Now, if God does that for us, if He causes us to endure, what will the evidence of that be? If God does that, what will the evidence of that be? I want to give us some evidences here. And as I give these to us, I want to encourage us and I want to exhort us to do these things. Okay? What I'm about to show us is God's doing. I want to establish this. Let me make this really clear. What I'm about to show us is God's doing. God has to do this. But He accomplishes this for His people through the means of encouraging them to it in His Word. He shows them in the Word. He speaks to their heart. And He exhorts them. He gives His people faith to believe what He says. He gives them a heart to strive to endure in it. So if God gives us a heart to endure in these things, then we will have a heart to endure in these things. Does that make sense? If God does that, we'll have a heart for it. He'll make us willing in the day of His power. So, what are God's people enduring in? If He causes us to endure, what do we endure in? Let me give us three things. The first one is back in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, the end of verse 8, Paul said, that I may win Christ, verse 9 says, and be found in him. When God gives endurance to his people, they endure in Christ. They endure in Christ. It is Christ. Their life is Christ. You don't have to try to convince them to make Christ their life. Their life is Christ. Their hope is Christ. It's all about Christ. Everything to them can be summed up in one word. Christ. Here's my answer. Christ. That's it. Christ. That's all. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy 1 verse 3 says, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." Don't teach any other doctrine, he's saying, but the word that has been given. "Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in the faith, so do." He said, don't give heed to fables and endless genealogies and all those things. Now, the end of the commandment is charity or love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. They desire to teach the law and they desire all of these vain janglings that men come up with. And he said, they don't even know what they're talking about. And he said, don't get caught up in all that. Just don't get caught up in all that. Look at Titus chapter 3. Verse 8, Titus chapter 3, verse 8. He said, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law. They're unprofitable and they're vain." What are good works? The works of God are good works. The works of God. The works of the law are condemning works to damnation, but the works of God are good works. In John chapter 6, some men came to the Lord one time and they said, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And the Lord Jesus answered them. He said, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent." The answer was Christ. The answer is always Christ. It's just Christ. The evidence of enduring. The evidence of endurance. And I want to exhort, this is God's doing, this is the evidence, but I want to exhort all of us to endure in this. Let's all endure in Christ. The evidence of endurance is enduring in Christ. Let's all be firm. Christ alone. It's Christ alone. Look with me at Hebrews 12. Verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience." Run, I love that. Run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Doesn't that brings focus back to me every time I think about the race set before us. You just keep looking to Christ. You just keep looking to Christ. You just keep looking to Christ. If we endure, we will endure in Christ. It'll be Christ and nothing else. It won't be, well, you know, what about, don't I have to? It'll be Christ. That's it. Christ. Period. Okay. Here's the second thing. Quickly. I'll be quick. Turn to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If we endure, we will endure in Christ. Did I say 2 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians 9. That's where I want you to go. 1 Corinthians 9. Okay, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16. The Apostle Paul said, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Paul said, I must preach, and we all must hear the gospel. We must. He said, woe is unto me if I don't preach the gospel. And for all of God's people, woe is unto us if we do not hear the gospel. We must. Look at verse 24 right here. Paul said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. He said, in a race, one receives the prize. Run that way. Run this race that way. Verse 25, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He said, I'm not just shadow boxing, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I've preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He said, I'm not playing games. I'm not going through the motions. I must endure in the gospel. And in the ministry of the gospel, we must endure. If we endure, we will endure in the gospel and in the ministry of the gospel. I love this. Luke said in chapter 1, verse 1, he said, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, he said, I have to do the same thing. And all of God's people do the same thing. We must endure in the gospel and in the ministry of the gospel. Don't turn to this. 2 Corinthians 4 says, seeing we have this ministry, we faint not. This ministry has been given to all of us. And we don't faint. We just don't faint. We want to. We all want to, but the Lord keeps us. We don't draw back. We keep going. That's His doing. That really is His doing. It's not to our credit. It's to His credit. That's His work in us, but we keep going. If we endure, we will keep going. We'll keep going. And we won't try to take the credit for it. We won't be lifted up in pride over it. But we'll keep going. Look with me at Philippians 3 again. Verse 12 says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." And here's what he's saying. I didn't apprehend him. He apprehended me. But because he did, it's caused me to do this one thing. Verse 13 goes on to say, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I want to exhort all of us. I very, very strongly want to exhort all of us to strive to endure. Paul said, press toward the mark. Press toward the mark. When you feel that resistance, press toward the mark. When you feel everything just try to veil over you, press toward the mark. Press through it. Our Lord said in Matthew 11, He said, "The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." And what that means is, just like Jacob, they say, God's people say, "I cannot let you go unless you bless me. I just can't." Now, we know that Jacob didn't have any control over God, but that's the heart the Lord put in him. If a sinner says that, that's the evidence that he's already been blessed, but a child of God will say it. So if we endure, we're going to endure in Christ. We will endure in the gospel of Christ, in the ministry of Christ. And here's the last thing, all right? They're really all the same thing. But turn with me to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Verse 19 says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil," that is to say his flesh, because he paid the debt and opened up the veil, the way to God, and all of God's people can now freely walk through and boldly walk through. Verse 21, "And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." I want to strongly encourage us. I told you that everything that we were going to look at was God's doing. But I want to exhort us through this means He has given of declaring His truth. I want to exhort us and encourage us to endure in the fellowship of the saints. I want to strongly encourage us to make every effort that we can to gather every time God's people meet. Now, sickness is all over this world. Quarantines are all over this world. I'm not talking about that. We have so many brethren who are not here right now. I'm not talking about that. People go on vacation. I'm not talking about that. People have to work. I'm not talking about that. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. And I know you do too. I know that you feel the struggle to endure. I know you feel the struggle to keep going. I know you do. I want to strongly encourage us for our own sake. There was a time in my life when I would come to something like this, it worried me, thinking, oh, I'm going to upset everybody and they're going to think I'm trying to get them to come and listen to me preach. I don't think that anymore. We need this so badly. We need this so badly. I need this so badly. I want to really, really encourage us to understand the absolute need of gathering with the saints, remaining Christ alone, hearing the gospel, supporting the ministry, gathering with the fellowship of the saints. May God cause us to endure in that. If we do, let's not be lifted up in pride over that. But may He cause us to endure in that. May He allow us the privilege of not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. May He give us a heart that desires being with God's people. I love, by His grace, just being with God's people, gathering together. You know, I say that for two reasons. Number one, from the ministry's point of view. Ministries come and ministries go. The Lord raises them up and He tears them down. He has always done that. And from the ministry's point of view, if I get it in my mind that, well, they don't need me there. I don't necessarily need to be. I mean, who am I? People don't even pay attention to me. You know, I'll catch up. I'll listen to the message later. That is contagious. And when one does it, somebody else will say, well, if they can do it, I'll do it too. They don't need me there. God's people need each other. We need each other. I mean, we really do. We're in the ministry, and this is it. This is the only ministry that there is in the ministry. This is it. If we want to know what is the ministry, it's this. The message calls people into the fold, the fellowship of the saints. And before long, I've seen it happen. 30, 40, 50 people all start saying, it's all right. They don't need me there. I just sit in the back anyway. The next thing you know, you don't have a ministry anymore. And the Lord, seeing we have been given this ministry, God gave us one. Let's fight to protect it. Let's be here for the brethren, for the ministry. Let's encourage each other and gather with the saints. I'm telling you, when any soul walks through that door, they just entered the ministry. They've just encouraged the saints. They've just gathered together as one body with one heart, one mind, one soul, one spirit, enduring together. Going through hardships out there, individually, and enduring together in here. I want to exhort all of us to assemble for the brethren's sake, assemble for the ministry's sake, but more so than that, from an individual point of view, I know something of sin. I am well acquainted with sin. And if you give sinful flesh an inch, it will take a mile. It will take a mile. I know something of myself. I know something of this. If it ever creeps into our minds that it's okay to make that conscious choice to not assemble, well, it's okay, I'm just not going to assemble, we will run with that. And it'll get worse and worse. It will get worse and worse. We are so prone to wander. We're so prone to wander. Fight it. Fight it. I can't keep myself. God's going to have to keep me. That's right. Start begging. Lord, please keep me. Don't let me get lulled into my lukewarm okayness with everything. Lord, keep me. Put something in me. Press against it. Suffer violently against it. Let's endure. Let's endure together. Lord, let us endure together. If we endure, God will get the glory for it. But let's beg Him to cause us to endure, because he that endures to the end. Lord, please don't let me go till I'm gone. Keep me. Because he that endures to the end in Christ, he that endures to the end in the gospel, he that endures to the end in the fellowship of the saints shall be saved. Saved. Lord, save us. Show this evidence in me. Please, show this evidence in us. Save us, Lord. Keep us, Lord. Oh, keep us cleaving to thyself and still believing till the hour of our receiving promised joys from thee. May the Lord do that for us. All right, let's all stand together.